What kind of protests do you think are effective? Do you think there's a lack of focus when all the affinity groups are lobbying for an individual cause rather than a common cause? And what tactics have you seen work in India, or have you participated in abroad that you would propose in the United States?
Well, that's interesting because, you know, I think that it has, you know, the fact that there's a sort of loose anarchy to the movement is a strength and a weakness, mm-hmm. because you can't get too idiosyncratic and too belief in, you know, oh, you don't need any organization and all of us just need to show up on the street. It's not like that, you know. Mm-hmm. And the fact is that there is a common enemy now which has been flushed out and drawn up by these various groups in their various ways, you know. Mm-hmm. And that enemy is neoliberalism, you know, that mm-hmm. enemy is the U.S. occupation of Iraq and Afghanistan, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. I think now we do need, without in any way compromising our various ideologies and beliefs, you know, mm-hmm. we do need to press for a victory, and we do need to insist on the U.S. Army's withdrawal from Iraq, and mm-hmm. we do need to punish those corporations that first did business with Saddam Hussein and now profit from the destruction of Iraq, and are also involved in the destruction in a different way of millions of livelihoods, you know, because they're involved in the privatization of water and electricity and so on mm-hmm. across third world countries, the same corporation, you know.
You wrote in an essay that people are getting rich. The people who are getting rich can't imagine the world is not a better place. By almost every estimate, the rich are getting richer and the poor poor, and it's been dubbed a return of the Gilded Age. You've talked about two convoys of trucks, one tiny and glittering and the other melting away into despair. What do you think the difference is between the poverty in India and the poverty in America?
Well, I don't know how to answer that question, but simply to say that, you know, traditionally, how was colonialism fought? It was fought by forging the tool of nationalism, you know, mm-hmm. of third world nationalism. And now that nationalism is becoming an enemy to ourselves. Mm-hmm. So say you're involved in any kind of protest movement in India. They'll immediately say, you're a foreign agent, you're being paid by the CIA, you don't want they don't want India to develop. And, you know, there's this kind of rabid nationalism which then strays into religious fundamentalism. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, whenever that accusation is made to me, I say, yes, I am a foreign agent. You know, I am. If to be a foreign agent means to speak on the same side as the poor in Latin America, or the poor in Africa, or the poor in America, or the poor in Europe, or the poor in India. Mm-hmm. Yes, you know, we are all foreign agents, yeah. using that yardstick. Because the fact is that it is the elite of America, and the elite of India, and the elite of Europe, and the elite of Africa, and the elite of Latin America that form a nexus against mm-hmm. the poor. You know, so it has to be recognized that when you're, say, fighting agricultural subsidies enforced, I mean, you have the WTO insisting that countries like India remove agricultural subsidies mm-hmm. from their poorest farmers. Mm-hmm. And you know that the Western world is paying $1 billion a day in subsidies to their farmers, but not to their poor farmers, to their corporate rich farmers. You know, so and poverty in the first world is not something that even people in the third world even recognize, you know, mm-hmm. because you know, you can't imagine. I mean, they can't imagine that people like a poor person in America isn't poor in comparison to a poor person in India, perhaps, you know. Mm-hmm. But the brutality of that poverty is equally real to them, you know.
Mm-hmm.